Friends, mistakes. We all make them. I'm so glad because this morning I made 100 different mistakes just playing the guitar. But we all make them. Do you know in the days of telegrams, now the young people might not know what's a telegram. It was the days before emails and computers and text messages and cell phones. And it was a custom back then to send a telegram to a couple who was getting married. And then the telegrams would be read at the reception. At a certain wedding, a telegram was sent that was meant to read as follows. Dear Jack and Jill, 1 John 4 verse 18. It's a wonderful verse for a young married couple. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. But on this specific occasion, however, the post office that gets the telegrams ready made a mistake. They omitted the numeral 1, resulting in John 4, verse 18, that was sent to the newlyweds. And this is what John 4, 18 says. You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. Do you see our little mistake, friends? They left the one out. But not all mistakes turn out bad. A product that most of us are familiar with as we grew up was Ivory soap. Years ago, Ivory soap was just another brand among many. But then one day, the factory foreman made a huge mistake by leaving a batch of new soap unwatched in a cooking vat during the lunch hour. His lunch was delayed and the soap overcooked. However, rather than report the mistake and risk losing his job, the foreman decided to make the best of it. He shipped out the batch anyway. It seemed to clean just as well, although it was much lighter. The results surprised everyone, because rather than complaints, the company was flooded with orders for the new floating soap. So rather than being fired, the foreman was promoted for making a soap that floats. Friends, many of us have made mistakes and learned that there can be blessings from blunders. There can be a silver lining behind every dark cloud. That good can come from grief. That profit can come from peril. We have been told, and we tell others, to pick up the pieces and be positive, to move on. For it is always possible to make something better out of something bad. Friends, that's exactly the way God works with us. There are many times that we may do wrong. Our attitudes and actions cause us to fall short of God's intended design. But he does not toss us aside as something that is worthless or useless. He simply remakes us over and over again, if necessary, until he has completed in us that which he purposed before we ever were. When the Lord chose to call us, he covenanted within himself that he was going to bring you and I to a place where he wants us to be and to make us into what he needs us to be. Therefore, with a blueprint in his mind and with the skill and precision, God has taken on this massive project. And you and I are therefore a work under construction. Regardless of how spiritual we are still under construction. Regardless of how many titles you have in the church, you are still under construction. Regardless how far we think we've come by faith, we are still under construction. Some of us have come from some difficult backgrounds, and now we are standing in the house of the Lord, and we are still under construction. Listen. No one has arrived. And if you come across a perfect person, bring them quickly to the church so that I can shake their hand, because it's the first time I would have touched a perfect person. Then I'll put a plastic bag here, wrap it up with tape, and never wash it again. You know, I'm just kidding. You know why? There's no perfect people. We are still under construction. Believe it or not. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet. His very name means appointed by God. He had a lesson to learn. A lesson that involved the patience of God with these people who were consistently rebelling against him, who were constantly making mistakes after mistakes in their lives by making poor decisions. And as we look at the first chapter of the book that bears his name, we find that Jeremiah was called and sanctioned by God. He was ordained to be a prophet unto the nations. It is believed that Jeremiah was only 21 years old. Jeremiah 1 verse 9 and 10 reveals the responsibility had God had placed on Jeremiah. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. He was to go and prepare the hearts of God's people for restoration that would lead to their usefulness to God. They had become overgrown with a thorny shrub of idolatry. Their love for God had been choked out by their indifference to him and treating him so casually. They had declined spiritually, and the message God would send them to his people through the prophet Jeremiah would change them. Friends, in the chapters that follow, we find that Jeremiah is faithful and obedient to all that God had commanded him. Man, Jeremiah is just prophesying and preaching, man. Right? He goes to the nations. He cries out against them. He faces opposition from people, especially kings and princes. Yet he is not silenced. He is persecuted. His life is threatened over and over again. And he keeps on prophesying. He does this for 40 years. He is faithful to God's call. And then one day, Jeremiah has had enough and gets discouraged. Seeing no results from his preaching, he finally says within himself, "Hell, Israel is hopeless. Judah is a lost cause. They will never turn back to God, and I can do nothing for them. His attitude in his heart was, these people are useless. They will never repent and return to the Lord. They will never glorify the Lord. So he says, Lord God, just toss them aside and forget about them. Hopeless. I've been preaching for 40 years. I've been prophesying for 40 years. And look at these people. He called to God one day and said, I will no longer preach your word. I will no longer make mention of your name. He had gotten fed up and with trying to reach and serve the people only to be treated in this manner. But as he turned to walk away, friends, he felt something down, deep down in his bones. It felt like fire in his bones. Let's read about it in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his words was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back. I could not. Friends, if he had delivered the word of God to the people, he was beaten and persecuted. But if he did not deliver the word of God to the people, he felt like his bones were on fire. And so after deliberation, he realized that it's better to get the fire out of his bones than to worry about what people said and did to him. But it was then, friends, in his discouragement, that God told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and said, there, I will cause you to hear my words. Again, friends, Jeremiah had a lesson to be learned. A lesson about the patient love and mercy of God with his people. We're going to read the passage in Jeremiah 18, verse 1 to 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. What happened at the potter's house, friends? Well, it was there, friends, that Jeremiah saw the potter take a lump of clay in his hand and placed it on a spinning wheel and began to shape it and mold it according to the design that he had already purposed in his heart and mind. He didn't say, I will take a lump of coal and let's see what happens. He says, I am going to make a lovely vase. And so he begins to make this vessel. He knows what he wants it to look like. Yet there were times in which the clay did not mold and conform to that design. It was actually marred in the potter's hand because of its resistance and inconsistency as clay. However, the potter didn't become discouraged with the vessel and toss it away as something that is worthless and useless. Instead, he just remade it. He worked with it over again, as many times as was necessary, until finally it became what he had first determined it to be. Thus God would do the same with Israel and Judah. Friends, God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for every life. If anyone should know this, it should have been Jeremiah. Had he looked back 40 years, he would have remembered what God told him in Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Did you see that, friends? Just as God had promised, had a promise, a purpose for Jeremiah, he also had a purpose for the nation of Israel. Why? It was through that nation of Israel, it was through that nation of people, that the seed of Abraham, that God would bless the nations of the earth with the coming of his son Jesus Christ, their Messiah. Do you see that? However, it seemed that Israel had forgotten that. But then, they had forgotten a lot of other things. They had forgotten how God literally redeemed them and delivered them from slavery in Egypt. They had forgotten that God brought them to the land of promise. They had forgotten that God was ready to bless them all the days of their life as long as they remained faithful to him. It was only when they turned their back on God and served the gods of the Canaanites, the idols and so on, that Israel suffered the loss of God's protection and prosperity. Because of their sin, they became marred even in the potter's hand. Israel was resistant and inconsistent like a piece of clay. When the potter found the vessel to be marred, even though it was in his hands, the hands of a master craftsman, it wasn't the potter's fault. It was the fault of the clay. The potter had a perfect design in mind, but the clay had imperfections in it. As the potter tried to mold the clay, he came across a hard lump of clay or a stone that literally pushed his hands aside, pushed his hands away, and made a change in that design. And friends, there was an inconsistency in the very makeup of the clay. And like man, we are by nature sinners. And every time the Lord works with us, and he never quits working with us and working in our lives, the sin in our lives begin to resist the hands of the master. The inconsistency, the sin in our lives, cause us to push God's hands away. God allows us freedom, friends. He allows us the freedom to make choices. Sometimes those choices are wrong. He has a plan for our lives, a plan that will conform us to the very image of his son, Jesus Christ. But like the clay, our lives present resistance, the imperfections of a nature that is bent on sinning. Pushes his hands away from time to time, and the design that he had for our lives is marred. But notice something lovely. Notice something beautiful, friends, and comforting, is that he doesn't throw us away. He doesn't throw us away. He never rejects us as being useless or worthless, but he just continues to work the work of remaking us until the design is complete. The Lord told Jeremiah, what the potter can do with the clay, I can do with Israel. Amen. Friends, what he did with Israel, he can do with you and I. So whatever you might consider right now as you can hear my voice, whatever you consider to be marring your life, the Master can help you. Just as we heard, we have to come to the potter's house, as it were. Every flaw, every problem is welcome there. If you feel hopeless, just come. If you feel helpless, just come. If you feel burdened down, just come. If you have attitudes that need to be changed, just come. If you find it hard to forgive other people, just come. If you feel that nobody cares and nobody loves you, just come. If you feel resentment and anger to those around you, just come. Come and put your clay in the Master's hand. Amen. Amen. But you've got to come, friends. As you come to the potter's hand, the marred, broken vessel, get ready to be placed in the hands of the Master, to be put on the wheel so that you can be remade. Let's look at verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. God, as God places our marred lives on the wheel, he starts afresh and makes us again into vessels of honor. On the wheel, certain things must go. On the wheel, certain things must go if remaking is to take place. Some things we think we can't do without is taken away, and some things we think are needless is added to you. On the wheel, there is a cutting and shaping. On the wheel, hopelessness turns to hope. On the wheel, a low esteem turns to self-esteem. On the wheel, a nobody becomes a somebody. On the wheel, an unforgiving spirit turns to a spirit of forgiveness. On the wheel, God makes something beautiful of our lives. Amen. Friends, we used to sing a song, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and doubt, and he made something beautiful of my life. Once you have been to the potter's hand, to the potter's house, once you have been placed on the potter's wheel and touched by the potter's hand, let me tell you something, friends. You will never be the same.
That's right.
You will never be the same. Verse 6 says, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. Friends, whenever you feel your life is too marred by the mistakes you have made to ever be useful to God, you think, I'm too bad. I've made too many mistakes. Think about men like Moses and David and Paul. Every one of them participated in a murder. Each of them was bent on fulfilling their own desires, even though it meant being totally out of the will of God. And yet, God continued working on them until his design was complete. Moses became a leader of a great nation. David became the king of that great nation. Paul became the greatest missionary to walk the face of the earth. How did that happen? Because God didn't give up on them.
Amen.
God didn't give up on them. And like the potter, he put them back on the wheel and kept it spinning and applied the gentle pressure and movement of his hand that will shape their lives for his glory. So friends, don't give up. Don't believe the lies that Satan tells you that you know you are of no use. You've gone too far. You are no good. God is our potter. We are a work under construction. God is saying to us today, I can bring treasure out of trash. I can make jewels out of junk. I can bring glory out of garbage. I can make riches out of rubbish. I can make diamonds out of coal. I can bring righteousness out of ungodliness. I can bring deliverance to all addiction. I can bring healing to the sick. I can make mended hearts out of broken hearts. I can bring freedom to the captive. And I can bring sight to the blind. Amen. This is who we're dealing with, friends. Amen. This is our God. I like the saying, be patient. God is not finished with me yet. You know, sometimes, especially other Christians, they point fingers at Christians as if they have arrived. Hey, we made it, guys. You are the rubbishes. No. Listen, be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. It's true for all of us. We are a work in progress. God is continuing to work on us. So don't give up. Don't say, I'll never make the grade. I'm not good enough. Don't say that. You say, but Keith, you don't know my weakness. Well, come to the potter's house. Be touched by the hands of the master. Let him take that flaw out and make you a vessel unto honor according to his design. I want to close with some words from a Christian whose name is Irenaeus. Irenaeus, something like that. He's from the second century. And he wrote it much more poetically than I can say it. He said, it is not you who shape God. It is God that shapes you. If then you are the work of God, await the hand of the artist who does all things in due season. Offer the potter your heart, soft and trackable, and keep the form in which the artist has fashioned you. Let your clay be moist, lest you grow hard and lose the imprint of the potter's hand. We used to sing a song called He Touched Me. Remember that one?
Yeah.
He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me, and he made me whole. Yeah. Let's bow our heads in prayer.